Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, that man with one of the most marvelous minds in the world, who was able, in humility, not to plumb the depths of God. He couldn't do that, but to come to such a deep, profound understanding, at least a portion of the very nature of God. What a gift, what gratitude we owe him for what he has given to us and to the whole church. Well, today we look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, and then verses 24 to 29. After Nathan had spoken to King David, the king went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, Lord God? Who are the members of my house that you have brought me to this point? Yet even this you see is too little, Lord God. You have also spoken of the house of your servant for a long time to come. This too you have shown to man, Lord God." So David is saying, who am I that you would give me these blessings? Who am I to know that my house will endure? What great good you have done for me. How many times do you stop and thank God? And remember, David fell again and again. But God loved him. And God restored him. God forgave him. God punished him, but God forgave him. How often do you thank God? In how many ways do you turn to the Lord day in and day out, thanking him for all his blessings? David goes on to pray, "You have established for yourself your people Israel as yours forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, confirm for all time the prophecy you have made concerning your servant and his house, and do as you have promised. Your name will be forever great when men say, 'The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel,' and the house of your servant David stands firm before you. It is you, Lord of hosts, God of Israel, who said in a revelation to your servant, 'I will build a house for you.' Therefore, your servant now finds the courage to make this prayer to you. Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth. You have made this generous promise to your servant. Do then, bless the house of your servant, that it may be before you forever. For you, Lord God, have promised. And by your blessing, the house of your servant shall be blessed forever." David was beloved of God, and yet David, with all these gifts and graces, still fell again and again. God has given us many graces. We too sometimes fall and turn away. Let's return to the Lord today if we've been away from him. If God has been good to us and we still got attracted by something of the world, we still got our eyes turned away from God for some reason, come back to him. Scripture tells us, come back to me with all your heart. Come back to me. That's what God wants for each and every one of us, no matter what the circumstances. He wants his house restored. He wants his people restored, that they might know the blessings of living in the kingdom of God. Many of you lived in the kingdom of God as children, and then you got attracted and enticed by the kingdom of the world. You put your time and your energy and your talents. Has it gotten you everything you hoped for? I've mentioned this before, but I want to repeat it, because it's so important. The deepest longings of our heart can only be satisfied by God. That's how God made us. Remember Augustine, the very famous quote of St. Augustine, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." You can pursue human goals, but don't make them your most important. Don't make them primary to you. Be a servant of God. Be a disciple. Be a son or a daughter of God. Recognize the need for a Savior and acknowledge Him as your Savior. Call upon Him. Return to Him if you've strayed away. Because you were made for union with God. You were created for union with God. And in the end, even if there's temporary satisfaction, in the end, everything in the world will fail or it will end. And what will you have? If you base everything on this world, what will you have when this world is no more? Please. Please pay attention to what God is trying to say to all of us today. One of the ways in which we can begin that return, if we've been away, I have a new little booklet, and I didn't even intend to mention it, but it just struck me. I should tell you once again, I do have a new little booklet called The Joy of Repentance, The Mercy of God, and The Joy of Repentance. And at the end of this program, you can call the toll-free number at the end of this program and get a free copy of that book. God has so much for you, the mercy of God and the joy of repentance. Believe me, brothers and sisters, it's not a drudgery. It sets you free. It breaks chains. It really does break chains and set you free for the glory of God. And for your own salvation and your own happiness and that of your family. Pay attention to this year of mercy. Pay attention. The Mercy of God and the Joy of Repentance is my most recent booklet. The other one on mercy is Captured by Mercy. That booklet has been out a couple of years, but actually the two booklets are complementary to one another. They show you different aspects of the mercy of God and different fruits that that mercy brings about in our lives when we open ourselves to turn around, to turn back to God, to come home, really. The sponsorial psalm for today is taken from Psalm 132. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. Lord, remember David and all his anxious care, how he swore an oath to the Lord, vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. I will not enter the house where I live, nor lie on the couch where I sleep. I will give my eyes no sleep, my eyelids no rest, till I find a home for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. The Lord swore an oath to David, a firm promise from which he will not withdraw. Because the Lord loved David because of his desire to serve God, his desire to put God first, even if he fell many times. He kept coming back, and he says, the Lord promises him, your own offspring I will set upon your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the decrees which I shall teach them, their sons too forever shall sit upon your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He prefers her for his dwelling. Zion is my resting place forever. In her I will dwell, for I prefer her. The Lord wants us, brothers and sisters, to dwell with him forever. He puts out an invitation to us. He pours himself out, including his own death for us. How can we refuse him? How can we say, oh, that's just pious thinking? But we live in the real world. We're dealing with real things. Brothers and sisters, the real world is where God is. He's with us, and he reigns from heaven. But the real world is where he is. It's what's under his lordship and authority that is the real world. If you've been blinded or deafened, please hear and see. God will give you the grace to do that. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. Jesus said to his disciples, is a lamp brought in to be placed under a bushel basket or under a bed, and not to be placed on a lampstand? There is nothing hidden except to be made visible. Nothing is secret except to come to light. Anyone who has ears to hear ought to hear. He also told them to care what you hear. The measure with which you measure will be measured out to you, and still more will be given to you. To the one who has more will be given. From the one who has not in what he has will be taken away. Jesus is saying, if we follow him, there will be blessings and fruits along with hardship, but there'll be blessings and fruits in this life, and they will be multiplied unto eternity. But if we spend all our time and our energy trying to reap fruits that are only for this world, we will end up having nothing. Nothing. That's not just an image, it's the reality. We will have nothing. Do you honor your Father in heaven, who's ruler over the whole world? Do you honor his Son, Jesus, who came to earth to die for you so that you could enter that eternal kingdom? Or have you taken on the mindset of the world? Have your eyes and your ears been deafened and blinded that the only thing you see are the things of this world? People have said to me, well, that's what's real. In other words, if my five senses, my five physical senses tell me that it's real, then it's real. And if my five physical senses can't decipher that, then it's not real. Brothers and sisters, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish, please. What is most important is what God has revealed to us in Jesus Christ. What is most important is the commandments that he's given us that will guide us safely home. That's why they're there. They're not to restrict. They're not to hold us back except from sin, except from what can lead to eternal death. The commandments are there like signposts to get you on the right path. Please, don't look at life from the eyes of the world, because it's false and it will be proven false. The day will come when Jesus Christ will come again in glory and power. And then the final judgments on our lives will be made forever. What are you going to choose? Who are you going to follow? This is a great year of mercy. Mercy. God wants to have mercy on us. When we come before him with our sin, he will forgive, he will wipe away, he will blot out. That's the incredible grace of God's forgiveness, and this year of mercy is focused on that, that we might see, that we might get free of the burdens that are on our backs. God wants to have mercy on you and then enable you to have mercy on others. Please, brothers and sisters, enter into the grace that God has for each of us. May God abundantly bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.